Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show This Week in WordPress and Bootstrap SaaS. Got a great special guest. I've been looking forward to this interview. We've got Rich Tabor, Project Manager Automatic. He's decided to enter the Dragon's Den. a brave automatician. He get gold stars for his bravery under fire. This is just a load of rubbish, isn't it? This is abuse. But I've got to pump the show. It's the age of YouTube and Twitter, X, and all the nonsense. But hopefully we're going to get some insights about what Rich does, how he sees the Gutenberg project going. Hopefully we'll have a great discussion and some insights. So, Rich, would you like to give the audience and listeners a quick intro?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Rich Tabor, and I've been involved in WordPress for close to 12 years now. It's adding up. And what I do today is very different than what I started. I started as a designer out of school, studied marketing. So I went straight to a marketing firm locally and started building email templates. That's how I started my journey. I went from email templates to corresponding landing pages, just doing design work. The engineers would approach me and say, like, hey, man, like, this is too complicated. Like, we're trying to use this thing called WordPress, and it's very different than email template designs. Like, how can we work together? And I was like, well, you have to teach me. So I was like, I want to learn everything about this thing called WordPress and how you are implementing my designs. So coming from that background, I jumped headfirst into development and tried to understand everything there is around the marketing side of things, the product side of things, like what we're building for clients and how we're actually launching these sites for folks. So that I could design better projects for the engineers. And turned that into products that I launched on my own. I had a theme shop for a while. I did blocks when Gutenberg started turning around the corner with a project called CoBlox. And went to GoDaddy, ran product on the WordPress experience team at GoDaddy for 3 years, which was a great learning time for me to level up and to feel out how I could work with more people, more engineers, more designers. And went from there to another product team at Extendify, doing similar work, trying to figure out how to make the WordPress experience better with a focus on onboarding and themes and patterns. And that led me to Automatic, where now I'm contributing nearly full-time to WordPress, but doing all the same stuff, trying to make this thing better.
Well, it's all good stuff. And I got my co-host, Kurt. Would you like to quickly introduce yourself, Kurt, to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure, Jonathan. My name's Kurt Von Onen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning websites. I also work directly with the great folks at Lifter LMS and Jonathan over at WP Tonic.
That's great. And before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great interview, I've got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmenSend. OmenSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmenSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals, and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. We're coming back, folks. I'd like to say we've got some great offers from the major sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services, all curated by myself. For the WordPress professional, you can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the free goodies there. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot, but that's all you're going to get from that bloody page. And please do that, folks, because it does support the show and the sponsors. And this podcast is one of the few independent voices in WordPress. So one of the longest running ones. So your support is much appreciated. So, I think you've answered question one with your intro, really. So I'm just going to throw it over to Kirk and go into question two. Off you go, Kirk.
Yeah, I actually would like to extend off of one if I could.
All right.
Really? And that is, for those of us on the outside looking in, right? So there's a ton of us out there that are just kind of in the outside circles, right? What does it look like going from these other projects to Automattic? Like, how did you get your foot in the door? How did you contribute more? And then how did you grow in your presence there? If you could kind of share that with folks, maybe they'd find that interesting.
Yeah, I see. I'm always learning. I'm always striving to be curious and learning what's next, like what's important, what's how I can have the biggest impact on something. And you know, going to each of these places, that's been my number one drive. It's like, why am I going here? It's to learn because I'm curious, and it's to have an impact and to make a difference in what I'm working on. Because we only have so much time, like, you know, in this world, to like really do something important. So when I went to Automattic, it was clear that like there's a need to focus on WordPress, to contribute directly to WordPress. And throughout all my years working in all these different environments, I've contributed but very lightly compared to what I've been doing the last year and a half now almost. It's been more of guidance or pushing ideas to potentially get them into core through third-party products. Whereas now it's much more direct. I can pitch ideas to everyone. Like, I have all day to pitch ideas to have teams oriented at Automattic and also contributors outside of Automattic to really come together to build the best software we can for websites and for CMS in general. So it's really not much different being at Automattic other than having that time dedicated to supporting WordPress.
Cool. So that really does lend us in the question too. And that is, since you guys are pitching ideas and you kind of have some sights on the inside, what's there to be excited about in Gutenberg that you could share with us?
Yeah, there's a few areas, and they're all closely related. The first, I call them big ideas, you know, the big ideas. And none of these are, you know, secret or anything. They're all everywhere on GitHub. We're trying to keep them as transparent as possible so that we can get as many folks involved as possible on these fronts. But the big one that I think is important to kind of at least zero in a little bit is this idea of granular editing versus editing with broad strokes. Like, we have, right now we have individual blocks that we add to a page all at once with patterns, right? We can drop in this pattern and you have a section of a site added at once. It's great. But what I was thinking through is, like, how do we approach editing with less granularity and with more of like a zoomed out approach, like a bird's eye view of your site? So if I could zoom out of my page and I could either reorder sections, or I could change a whole section or delete a whole section at a time, instead of trying to find the right parent block to select that I can delete that section, or the right group to select that I can restyle it with a different color scheme on my site. I think that we need to pare back a little bit on all those granularity pieces that we have to make editing feel more intuitive and less technical even. So that's the first big thing that I'm leaning in on right now. I think it's important.
Nice. Thanks. Jonathan?
All right. So what do you think some things people don't understand about the Gutenberg project in the world of WordPress, if you're not contributing every week, every month, you're in that world of contributing to Gutenberg, and that, it's the bulk of people that use WordPress or in some way listen to this podcast or is a bit more involved in the general WordPress community, they probably don't contribute still that actively. So maybe you can give some outline of what it's like to work with something like Gutenberg that's so crucial to the future of WordPress.
Yeah, I think like what you mentioned there is imperative. Like we need people involved. Like this is, as humans, like this is our product, right? Like we have a say in how this comes together. All of us do. And we need to be contributing in some fashion back to the project so that it can continue to evolve and level up throughout time. And one of the things that I think is the most important when folks are asking me, like, how do I get involved? Like, what is this thing? And like, I don't even know where to start. I tell them there's this great newish mentorship program, WordPress.org, that's geared towards connecting folks who are interested with folks who are already in the loop to try to help glean some of that knowledge, that domain knowledge that's just like in our heads or on our blogs, like direct one-on-one connections with people. When you do that, you really do learn like, okay, like there is like a flow. There is a natural ebb and flow of productivity and where the project's going, but also in pairing things back. Maybe sometimes we need to take the technical implementations and scale them back to something more understandable. And that takes a lot of insights from folks who don't look at this every day. So there's a ton of value in folks who are getting into contributing for the very first time. 6.5 had WordPress 6.5 had over 150 new contributors to the release, which is really great. I think it's really interesting as folks are leveling up, skill wise on across the board, but especially in Gutenberg itself and starting to pick up issues. Like we have this polish board, which is smaller things that are clearly defined that folks can jump in on. And we're seeing folks to pick from that. We're seeing folks jump in on the discussions on WordPress.org, also on GitHub, to really just kind of put their say into the mix, but also contribute with code or ideas or design pieces. But I don't see why in the next releases why we can't double or triple that number of new contributors now that we're in this, we're in flight with Gutenberg. We're moving fast. Like things are really going in the right direction.
What have been some of the surprise? I will kind of follow a few questions. What, because you're involved with GoDaddy on a high level, but moving to Automattic and then getting involved with Gutenberg, like I say, which is crucial to some ways, were, even though you had worked with GoDaddy, were there still surprises in this new position? How long have you been with Automattic and in your as project manager so far? Has it been a couple of years now?
A year and a half, yeah, until right. Last January, yeah.
So were there still surprises, and what were they?
I don't think surprises is probably the right word. It's, you just learn things. Like you learn, you learn the value of passion. So like what I like to do is find people who are interested. This is something I've been telling a lot of folks too, is find people who are interested in the similar areas of the project that you are. And then they become like your team, like your folks that you're like, okay, like together, like we can pitch ideas to each other to get like refine this out, and now we'll pitch it greater. We'll refine that out. And then some of us and maybe another outside engineer will help push and shepherd this forward. And you know, being at Automattic and contributing full time, I've really been able to do that at a much greater scale, where it's more than just outside of, you know, the localized GoDaddy team or any other team I've been a part of. And it's much more involved around any other contributors. It doesn't matter which company you're affiliated with or not. It really doesn't matter. It's just what you're interested in as a contributor and what area you want to be a part of. So like, I'm just trying to pull that out of people and put them in the right spot so that we can really push on things that we're interested in, because that's how we really make progress.
Right. Over to you, Kurt.
Yeah, Rich, I was just kind of thinking, you know, I remember what it was like when Blocks was first getting introduced. You know, hey, there's this new designer, Gutenberg. And I remember, do you want to stay with Classic or do you want to go with Gutenberg? Right. You had the choice. And I remember like how much I hated the change, but I kind of like forced myself to adopt it. And then I started bringing on like page builder knowledge. So then I started playing in Elementor. I've got customers on Divi. I know somebody who's very dear to me that has Beaver Builder and Jonathan. And so we have these things. But I'm going to be really honest on the podcast now. I found these page builders lately to be cumbersome to manage, to install, to keep updating, to not have white screens of death during the update process, all these things. And then I come back to Gutenberg and we've started using it in like the Cadence Pro example with Cadence Blocks and kind of expanding that capability from that perspective. And it's been working great. Like we're super impressed with it. Like we're really, as an agency on my end, I'm like, this finally something's working. And I feel like I'm kind of sticking, like I'm staying light and I'm staying with core as much as possible. But now there's this split where there's Blocks and then there's full site editing. And that kind of seems to like be splitting things in half, almost the way that we perceive our websites. Do you have any insights or thought or a way to explain that to customers in a way that makes sense?
Yeah, the way I see it is we had the block editor and that was essentially the first foray into building an editor that you can compose rich pages and really posts first and then pages with a tool for expression in WordPress that was possible with third-party builders, but not with WordPress core. And as we evolved the block editor, you know, it was more of like the ship of thesis where we're building and riding it at the same time. Like we're building it as we're crossing the ocean. So it's tough. It really is tough. The site editor was the first entry into kind of putting out a small section of this ship. It's like, this is where we're going to explore a little bit further ahead. Like we have the block editor, it's foundational. We're comfortable with where it's at the basis level. Like you said, like, it's like, okay, like this is starting to work. Okay. There are plugins who are adding functionality that it's great. And you can use WordPress and the block editor the way that works best for you. And that's great. But there's this experiment essentially with the site editor. And this is, you know, years ago where we are going to see how can we expose the entire site to blocks now, not just the post content. And in the site editor, it becomes much more complex because we're not just building with paragraphs and groups. And now we're building with logos and rows and columns and layouts and much more diverse structures to a page. So it is much more complicated. So the site editor, it's right now different than the post editor and block editor. But there is a lot of effort going into unification. So taking everything we've learned in the site editor, you know, all the experiments we've kind of pushed in different areas and different diverse areas to find the best approaches for things and kind of like pair them back technically to something that's more simple like the block editor and combine the two efforts so that they might not be the same foundationally technically, but they are the same experience. Like they should feel the same regardless of where you're at. So I would say that it is constantly in motion and constantly evolving. And I do think that once we, you know, combine these ideas together and kind of pair it back to where it's just like more intuitive, not necessarily simple, but just like intuitive, that it will start to feel more like the block editor. I would say it's almost a year or two behind where the block editor feels comfortable wise. But it is interesting what you can do today compared to what you can even do for a WordPress release. The amount of progress we're making for every release is significant now on the site editor and block editor. And a lot of the work we're doing on both is now like persisting across all these WordPress experiences, which I think is a momentum gain that we've been picking up on the last couple of years.
Now, as a follow-up to your answer, because you had mentioned, you know, complication, but intuitiveness. And I can only imagine the weight of building a project like this and having that appeal to a wide swath of people. How do you think Gutenberg is aligning with addressing two audiences, really? So there's developers that say, no, I have to have these extra page builder tools because I'm a pro, right? And people in automatic and marketing are like, no, you can do everything in, you know, you can do everything in Gutenberg. And then, but you got to keep it simple enough so that the end user can still manage their website. Like, what can you explain maybe a little of that challenge?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, you know, folks at Automattic are like, we want to keep this simple, you know, necessarily. There's a lot of teams at Automattic who leverage the editor and are constantly asking for the same things that everyone else are asking for. Like, it's all, I mean, most of it's posted in GitHub anyhow on issues. But the challenge is we want to build something that out of the box is comfortable to use. It's going to be challenging, right? But it's okay to have challenge where you're learning, just like with any other professional tool that you're building with. But it needs to be intuitive and it needs to be friendly as a product. It needs to be something that like you can grasp the idea of, and you're like, okay, like I know what I'm doing and I can feel confident with this. So if Core can nail that, that's a huge margin that we're good, that will be amazing. The next level, and which I think is already, we're already doing okay at, is the extensibility. That having these blocks that now, third-party blocks that are defined very well now, that we've, you know, kind of had that period of like a, you know, loss of exploration to figure out the best way to build blocks and to level up the development side of blocks, to where now we have experiences in like Cadence and a few others out there. I think Generate Blocks and whatnot, even CoBlocks, that are adding to this experience and giving those folks who are like, yes, I do want a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more control with what I'm doing, or I like this opinionated way that this one product is doing things. And that's the way WordPress has always been. Like, you can extend and add what you need for your team. I think as long as we keep that as a foundational part of the editing experience, which I don't foresee us not doing, then we can improve the other side of it to where it's like, okay, now every time you add something, it still feels just as friendly, just as intuitive out of the box.
Perfect. Nice. Jonathan, over to you, sir.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, Rich, because I think you're spot on there, that, and it's a kind of, I think some commentators find that a bit difficult to handle, that it's always relied on third-party solutions and it's always been a bit of the culture where others... And I want to tell you a story, Rich. I had one of my lead developers, I was having a chat about a possible project with him yesterday, and I said... And we've been using Cadence quite a bit, and I've been utilizing it for a couple of side projects, and I've been getting used to it because I kind of was using other page builders, Elementor and a couple of others. And I said to him, we're probably going to use Cadence on this project. And his reaction straight away, Rich, was, I hate Gutenberg. That's all he said to me, I hate Gutenberg. And I'm doing a podcast with him in a couple of hours' time, and it's going to be about Gutenberg and page builders in general. And I'm going to be asking him, have you got any insights? Because I think some people see me as a Gutenberg hater, and I resent that a bit because I don't think I am at all. If I was a hater, I wouldn't bother discussing it. I wouldn't have asked you to come on this show. But have you got any insights why you've got this vision, this kind of reaction, I hate Gutenberg? I'm going to ask him in 2 hours' time to flesh that out, because even if he hates it, if he's helping us with this major project, if it does come to light, he's going to be using Gutenberg. So have you got any insight why people got this vision, this kind of powerful reaction?
Yeah, I mean, you know, change is very difficult, right? And change is only viable a solution if the result of change is worth it. You know, and for some folks, it might not be at the point where it is worth it. And that's something that as individual, especially, if we're talking about builders or agencies, like folks that are leveraging this as a tool professionally, like their expectations are different than the folks who are using this every day who only had the classic editor and could not have done anything like this. So we're kind of approaching it again from those two sides. And just let me be clear, like I think WordPress core out of the box, like it's certainly a viable solution for agencies and builders. In even enterprise, I think there's a lot of potential and things that we can improve. But when comparing to tools that had a pretty massive head start and are very opinionated in the way that they work, you're going to have folks that are just the same, like very opinionated in the way that those tools work. And what we're trying to do is build something that can work across the board. And it's not going to be the right answer for everyone. But I think we can get to a point where, we eventually, and I think the sentiment has changed and has shifted over the last year even, or I would even say by release. Every release I'm seeing much more sentiment, positive sentiment towards core WordPress and core Gutenberg. But I do think that we can polish and continue to improve those small things, like those tiny details that make you go like, wow, this is tough. Like in one instance, like, and it might not be for us, for us in the room who have worked, and even a lot of folks who are listening to this, like we've worked with WordPress probably before Gutenberg. And we know a lot about all the page builders. We have a lot of context and a lot of information, and we use WordPress every day. Like we know how the system works, and we hit those same stumbling blocks, but we were like, oh wait, I have to do these two things over here first. And like, we just know that. So we're like, fine, whatever, it's frustrating, but it's not a deal breaker. But for a lot of folks, those things are deal breakers that don't do it every day. And I think if we hone in on those things, then like us here in the room and those listening will start to feel the same responses. Like, wow, like this does feel like something that I can leverage quickly and build sites fast, and I can build and reuse pieces of sites across the board, which makes me even faster. And then, if we start leaning into that, the concept of AI in site building, it's like, okay, well then we're just maximizing even more, because now we have a system of, a block.json, a theme.json, pieces of this project that can be manipulated now quite easily, almost in any sort of fashion. So it's a very strong concept, but I think experience-wise is where we need to improve so that it does line up a little bit better with the folks that want to build with it.
Yeah, I totally understand. Got some other follow-through questions about what Rich has just said. But I think it's a good time for us to go for our mid-break, folks. We've got a couple more messages from sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We have had a deep discussion with Rich. It's been very civilized, the way it should be. But before we go into this fascinating discussion, just want to point out, I produce a weekly newsletter. I write it myself. It's a mixture of WordPress, whatever interests me, general tech stories, bootstrap, startup stories, and WordPress, all combined in one weekly newsletter. You can get this rag by going over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter, wp-tonic.com/newsletter. and please sign up for it. I'm getting more spicy as I knock them out, so it won't be a yawn fresh in your inbox. So it's, I've been thinking about this and what I would ask you, Rich, and this is just coming from my own reflection on things. When I started using Gutenberg with Cadence, my observation is this, is I don't think it's a terrible interface, but I don't think it's a fantastic interface, to be truthful about it. And I think there's a lot of things that have been kind of linked together to produce a little bit of toxicity about the whole thing. And I do understand it in some ways, but the pure thing around Gutenberg and under your guidance and some of the other key figures, I think the situation has improved enormously. And I'm not just saying that because you're on this show in front of me. I honestly think you've done an excellent job. But I don't, this is my personal take in it. I just don't think at the beginning of Gutenberg enough emphasis was done on UX design and how, because I think to get any kind of end result when it comes to UX design is difficult. I think to get a different UX design is quite achievable, but to get a really good in UX design that has to be utilized with a diverse user base is extremely difficult. And I just don't think there was enough emphasis until yourself and other people came on board. And so before I waffle on some more, what's your reaction to what I've just outlined, Rich?
Yeah, I think that, I think I agree with that sentiment. You know, when Gutenberg was first turning the corner and becoming a viable piece of WordPress in WordPress 5, it was important and also focus on the technicalities. Like, how is this system going to work and evolve in a way that we can keep working on it and keep evolving it? And it was almost entirely technical, right? If you look at screenshots of Gutenberg from when it came out, when it first came out, like, it looks completely different than what it looks now. I imagine if you switched to that version of WordPress, you probably would feel super lost because we've evolved and adapted quite a bit since then. I do think that designers, we need more designers. We need more UX folks who have the context of WordPress and also who don't. I think that those folks contributing ideas is paramount. Like simple things like what are your expectations? Like, I tried this one thing and I expected X, but Y happened instead. And just knowing that from that perspective of not having the experience using WordPress often from those folks, it's more eye-opening. So we can get out of our bubble, get out of our space that we're comfortable with and the things that we understand and know and can see it from a different angle. And if we get more of those folks involved, I think we can continue pushing the momentum of the user experience within WordPress editing at an even faster pace. And I'm positive that we're moving in the right direction and I'm pushing every day fast on that path. And I know a lot of folks are, but I think we could use many more voices and ideas on that front.
I see where you're coming from there, but the thing is, I think when it comes to actually contributing to the code, I think it's easier to choose a ticket and match it with the time resource that you've got. When it comes to design and UX and that, I think it's a much more gradual process and involves a lot. And having too many chefs in the kitchen, especially when it comes to UX design, can lead to an effect where you have design by committee. What's your reaction to what I've just outlined there?
I don't think we have too many chefs, and I don't think we're designing by committee. So I think we could use another couple of chefs for sure. I think we need more ideas, more folks. It's not we don't need more folks to, I don't know if complain is the right word, but we need more folks to say, like, this is what I expected. and this is what happened. Because if with that proposition, we, the folks who are like, okay, like this is the project that I'm interested in, you know, I mentioned earlier about the passion, like I want to make the publishing sidebar better because I'm just annoyed by these few things. And this is just something I'm interested in. Then you can look through all the tickets and see what are the things that people ran into. It's not necessarily all those people are also contributing code and trying to push a bunch of things into the project. It's just all the expectations of folks and try to get a good idea of like, okay, this is generally what was expected and what happened. And how do, and as a designer, as a UX designer, how do I approach this process now with all that information? If we don't have that information, we're basing decisions off of instinct or research. And, you know, those are fine, but you also need the data to support it. You need the insights from the people using the product. So I think we could use more cooks. I'm okay with that.
All right. Start practicing your recipes, folks. But to get serious, I also think on the other side, you get people of UX design. It should be so easy. You should be able to know how to use platform. But in my experience, there's only so far you can go, especially a very complex thing or semi-complex thing. There's only so far. There's always, and it's based on the previous experience of the individual. And strange as it might sound, folks, I actually know what I'm talking because I did a master's in UX design many, many years ago at a London School of Print and Design. God help them, as me as a student. So there's only so far you can go, but So on your own reflection, I just felt that there's still something, especially around the navigation system. But I think you know that anyway, and you're working on it anyway, aren't you?
Yes. I would say there's progress on most of the things that you can think of, like how this one thing's frustrating. There are ideas circulating. There are people exploring. And then every once in a while, like I said, you know, I'll grab a team of folks. I'm like, hey, like, I know you all are interested in this one idea, or like one other person. I know you're interested in improving navigation or link control or the actual site editor navigation pieces. Like, let's like work together for a week and try to like iron this out and let's see what we come to. And I think if we have more folks doing that, you know, the pairing and the mentorship type pieces, it doesn't have to be official even. It could just be like, I know this person's interested in this problem and I want to work with them. And maybe you connect it on Twitter or on Slack or WordPress.org or anywhere, that I think we will keep pushing in the right direction. It doesn't mean that, you know, every idea makes it by any means. Like most of them don't, and even most of my ideas don't make it. And that's a good thing because sometimes they need to sit, they need to simmer, and we need more feedback just to make sure that what we put in here is the right direction so that we can keep moving forward in this direction in the future.
You said that some of your own ideas, but what is the process to decide which ideas do get accepted then?
I think it's just a system of priority. Like what's the biggest problem right now, like in WordPress? And then what's the biggest opportunity in WordPress? Like how do we narrow down those ideas and circling everything that's in, you know, in GitHub, everything that's on track, everything that's published on WordPress.org? Like what do we see in there? And from that POV, you see, okay, like, you know, obviously the site editor needs a lot of work. Like we have a lot of experiments running essentially. And it's like, okay, we need to figure out how to get this in a stable position so that this can be potentially become the future admin experience. Like this might be the pathway towards that. So that's an important opportunity and an important problem. So let's like push on that. Let's see if there's something here. And then we get learnings from that project. Maybe we figure out list view gets elevated because of explorations on that front, because we have lists of items on the sidebars. So we start abstracting those results into other parts of the product that also need work. So it's solving more than one problem at a time.
I've got one more follow through question, and then I'm going to leave the last two questions for Kirk to handle. I think you touched upon this. It's another, like I say, I've been thinking about this quite a bit. And I think the other thing that has caused people a bit of friction is what you said about JSON and about if you want to do a change, you can knock out a JSON file, or, you know, if you're good at React, you can dig in and develop your own blocks to achieve something. But I think there's another crowd that expects, that criticize Gutenberg around the actual code it produces through accessibility, but they also expect to be able to achieve things through CSS and HTML and be able to develop in a style which I understand, because it's how, when I was an active developer, I would expect. But I surmise that you're probably going to answer is that you can do both, but you've got to accept that you're going to have to use a third party add-on to give you that, and there are some out there. But do you think I'm on the right track? Because I seem to have these conversations with these two different groups, and they seem to not be able to, they really didn't understand what the other side were complaining about, or they thought the other side was just being difficult for the sake of being difficult, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's a very valid observation too. You know, the way I look at it is, I see parts of a website as essentially becoming interoperable, like the styles, the typography, the colors, the blocks already, you know, the patterns, like all of these pieces, the templates that we either put on a theme or put in a plugin, but essentially compose a site with. I see them as pieces that we can interchange everywhere. If we're hard coding CSS tailored to one specific piece on one specific site, it's broken from that system. That's fine. If that's like what you're building, you're like, I never want to use this pattern anywhere else. And I want to have some manual code in here to do something specific that I want. That's fine. That's an appropriate response as well. But I like to think that we could potentially evolve the system into something that where every pattern could be used on every site, every site's color palette could be used on any other site, every site's typography styles can be used on any other site. And not just for, you know, for folks who aren't as experienced for building sites, but also for the speed at which we can implement designs and execute builds for agencies and maintain them. If everything's maintained through theme.json, which doesn't have to be, or block.json, or either way, or attributes, I mean, it doesn't have to be like in global styles. Like, you can write your own plugin that has your own way of using global styles, but it's all the same system behind the scenes. Like, there's nothing that will break at that point, because it's all the same code. It's just machine writing one file to another in the same fashion. And then as an editor, you're doing the same thing. I'm just changing those same values, but I'm just deciding on a granular level what I want to change. So I think if we stick to that model and we keep some consistency in that, we will continue to push forward and evolve what we're building, other than almost, it's not the old way of doing things, but like a very strict way of doing things where I'm writing CSS for one specific thing.
Oh, I totally see where you're coming from now, actually. That was very insightful. Thanks for that, Rich. But I think it's more old-fashioned. Yeah, I think it's a kind of different mindset, a different way of seeing what web development is. And that's why both sides get, because I kind of see both sides where they're coming from. So I try and keep a balanced view. But I think in both communities, I've noticed both that have a different concept of this, they're very unwilling to see the other side's view, to a surprising level. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, Rich already slipped and mentioned AI in one of his answers, so now I get to ask him, you know, how do you think AI, well, is changing and will continue to change web design over the next 18 months?
18 months. I like the specificity there.
Okay, 2 years.
2 years. You know, it's going to get better. It's going to keep getting faster, and it's going to get easier to get to a proper solution for building websites. And you know, if you're just doing straight HTML and CSS, you know, that's fine. You know, it's if you're doing something with WordPress, you know, there are some tools exploring that. You know, even WordPress.com is making some explorations on that front. I mean, everyone is. Like, this is the area where, you know, there's potential for impact on how we build sites with, especially folks like building new sites and beginners. But what I think of is you know, like AI is a very complementary to how we built this system of attributes for blocks and for data driven styles with theme.json. Even though we didn't really see that coming, I don't think. But, you know, as AI became a bigger thing, it was like, okay, yes, this is the right. Like, we feel like this is the right path. Let's like lean in. But now it's going to be a tool that a lot of folks, if not everyone, building websites will leverage. Not just for like the actual output of a site, like, you know, help you spin up a site for, you know, XYZ, but also connecting the right plugins, the right fields behind the scenes. You know, for adding a new event to your site, or adding a ticketing system to your site, to connecting to the right plugins and doing all the hard work that that we all know with like WooCommerce behind the scenes, it's tough to set up. But if we had a system that is going to do that for us, like and going to at least get us 80% there, get us there faster, then that, which I think is going to be there. It's like that's a given in my POV. But design on the other side is tricky because. It's, you know, how do you communicate taste? And it's possible. It's not impossible. It just might not be completely practical right now. It might be a little bit tough to do. But I think about, you know, the interoperability of color across sites and how that potentially can leverage the AI system to where you have color palettes that you designed, like you designed like this color scheme, essentially, like in Stylebook, a style guide. And you say like this style guide, it's great for dark sites, and you can manipulate this however you want as long as it maintains this vibe. Then that's an appropriate entry into the AI to where it can be received and edited upon, but it has like a foundational base for what your intention is. And I think that might be the first step, but eventually it'll get to the point where it can do much more than that, for sure.
You know, in a way to kind of follow up with that, and I'll do like Jonathan and tell a quick story. I spent a couple of decades in automotive teaching technicians how to, you know, problem solve and get through things. And as diagnostic computers came out and plug-in diagnostics happened, a lot of technicians, as, you know, aged out, meaning mm-hmm. people that can actually diagnose something physically, they're not in the workforce anymore. And now we've got young people that can plug in a thing and go, oh, your oxygen sensor threw a code. But it's not the oxygen sensor that's bad. Like, they don't have the background information to recognize something else in the system caused that fault code. And I wonder, and it doesn't have to be a long answer, but is there any fear on your side as someone that is as high up in the food chain as you are working with directly with WordPress? Are people coming in and relying on AI and some of these shortcut tools or being implementers like me and not really understanding code? And because people aren't trained in the basics of code, are losing that foundation that they need to really be efficient or effective?
No, I don't think so. I think it's different, you know, the analogy, because, you know, automotive is, it's very physical. Like, there are lots of pieces, and really, I bet, you know, I've experimented quite a bit with this, like taking photos of things, and you're like, tell me what's wrong with this, you know, this, and like a gas line. I was like, something's wrong with this. Like, I take a picture and it's like, these are the potential things. Like, I think that we'll get to that point in the physical world even more soon. But in code, it's much more black and white. It's like, this works. This works a specific way. It can generate a test for you. And it's like, this is the results. Is this expected? And you're like, yes, this is expected. Like, or no, this was not expected. And it's like, okay, what do you want? And then you tell it what you want. So it's this much more zeros and ones, like, get to the result. Especially because everything is attribute driven. Like, there is an attribute for everything, every block, and for every style and theme.json. So you can really say, you know, I need to fix my color contrast on my site. And it's like, well, here's some suggestions. And you're like, I like this one. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah. I also think people, they kind of misunderstand the purpose. You know, web design isn't art. It's, but on the other hand, what they tend, people that have not had no formal training, is because of the way the human brain works and that we can process imaging much more quicker than written words. And you can, with the right image, you can get across a complicated concept much more quicker than the written word, because, you know, that's the difference between somebody that can write and somebody that's a good copywriter, because they got to distill a message with a finite amount of words that still puts across the key concept of the message. And that takes experience. And it's the same with branding or the graphics or the is that it should put across the message. And that takes experience. Do you think I'm on the right track there, Rich?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I do think that there is a component of art to a website. Like there is like personality and creative expression. Yeah. And I encourage folks to put that in their work. I think that's important as humans and what we create and what we present to the world. But it is about purpose. Like their website has a purpose, and it's either to share information or to mostly to share information or to guide folks to doing something like purchasing a ticket or RSVPing or subscribing to your newsletter for more information. Like there is purpose driven, but art is important because it is creative expression of what your intentions are. Like I said, though, with theme.json, I don't see why we can't get to a point where AI is generating artistically creative sites as well, just as well as sites that have the right imagery, that have the right copy, that help you accomplish your purpose.
Nice. Well, I think, Rich, that takes us to the last question of the day, man. This is the fun one. If you had your own time machine, you know, H.G. Wells or, you know, Doctor Who, something like that, if you could travel back to the beginning of your career, your business journey, what essential advice or, famous thing would you teach yourself?
I guess like, that's a good question.
Don't come on this podcast.
No, this has been great.
You've been pretty kind today.
There's things about you learn about yourself, like throughout your career or throughout growing up, really, as you're gaining wisdom and experience through life. But one thing that I would tell myself, as a younger me, would be like, hey, bro, like stay curious, like experiment more and like always learn. Like, and those are the things that drive me today. So like, if I would have known that when I first started out, I mean, I eventually stumbled into those, but when I first started out, like I think that could have propelled me even further in the right direction. But those are just, like fundamental, I think, to the human experience.
Yeah, I think it's a contradiction, isn't it? Because I think you're totally right. But on the other, but you've got to combine it with a kind of religious focus as well, because you haven't got as much time. Yeah, but it's a contradiction, isn't it? You've got to put, you are right. I think you're totally right there. But also you've got to somehow combine it with a kind of saying, you just don't go on like the Aussies say, you go on a wander, in the brush, I don't know.
It was the advice he was giving himself.
Maybe so.
All right. It's been a fabulous discussion. I think Richard's had some good insights. So Rich, what's the best way for people to contact you or find out more about your thoughts on what you're up to, Rich?
Well, I have the coolest domain on the web, rich.blog. So
I love it.
Yeah, rich.blog. So you can follow me there. And I'm Richard_Tabor on Twitter. Those are the big places I'm at.
And Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
Oh, yeah. LinkedIn's my jam. So you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kirk Von Onen on LinkedIn. So, you got me. And everything that's Manana Nomas online generally leads back to me. Love to see you.
Yep. And if you're getting value from this podcast, folks, and the great guests that we have on the show, please share it on your social media and comment on it, because that attracts new viewers and listeners, which leads to some quality sponsors that covers the cost of the show. So if you could share it on your social media, that would be great. We've got around, I think next week, we've got a round table show. Always great conversation and always a little bit spicy. We will be back next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.